Welcome to Drukhama Radio. For the sake of clarity, the person referred to as Raz in these podcasts is one of the main teachers of Drukhama teachings, referred to more commonly as Daishi, which simply means old teacher. We hope you enjoy this free content and find some of the material useful to enhance your life and the lives of those around you. Blessings.
Welcome back to Drukhama Radio. I'm Adam. Pumped, as always, to be joined by Raz. Raz, how are you?
Doing very good. Thanks for having me, as usual. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
It's our pleasure, truly. And as we referenced last week, we were inundated with emails, and actually some new reviews even referenced it. We are going to go a little bit deeper into Shiva and Shakti, probably more specifically Shakti, and we're going to bleed that over into Kundalini. I asked you to kind of get your storytelling pants ready for this week a little bit, get a little bit mystical. So without any more ado, brother, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to turn you loose and we're going to see where this goes.
To start with, the idea is based on two fundamental principles in Tantra, or really they go into any kind of esoteric system. And that is that the Shiva identity, which also embodies the stories of a man that was the first yogi of our world, and his wife, Shakti, who plays a wife and also plays the primordial mother and the primordial mother energy, are two currents or two distinct aspects of the duality that generate energy and consciousness. So Shiva is the consciousness, and without the energy of his bride or that other energy, Shakti, he's dead. And she is the energy that makes everything grow and thrive and live. And without consciousness, it's just movement without noticing. It's also dead. So together, some consciousness and some energy form the way we perceive reality, our ability for the heart to beat physiologically, our bodies to have energy to move, our muscles to tighten, our emotional energy, which is more subtle, and even more subtle, the mental energy, all acting through the body through that Shakti principle. And then our awareness of that process is considered the Shiva principle, our ability to watch the mind, watch the emotions, watch the body, and watch the outside world. So we have these two energies that are sort of always, there's always the analogy of lovers, how they're together, how they're trying to bond and unite. And we see this in tantric literature, and we see this in tantric imagery and paintings and ritual art and so forth. And also in the story of Shiva and Shakti. But really, this is talking about an inner left and right or binary kind of energies working within each of us. And the goal of the spiritual path is to work with both of these energies until they're fully and absolutely united together in perfect harmony.
Now, I want to jump way back to initially what you said when you referenced the first yogi. Clarify maybe for someone who's not familiar with that term.
So the idea is that there was an initial yogi, initial sadhu, initial practitioner, initial adept who figured out the energy and the consciousness within him or herself. We just say it's a person. And that person figured out how to understand the cosmos and creation in a very deep way through very specific kinds of meditative states. And through that process of meditating and going within and then learning about the structure of creation, began to understand how that person arrived here, what their body mind vehicle is, what the structure is here, and what every realm subsequent to this subtly are as well. It's different in each tradition, but in the yogic tradition, it's considered Shiva, the great Shiva, who lands on earth and figures things out. And then he teaches seven rishis and they go off and try to bring the tantric reasoning and science to the rest of the world. Now, he had a wife, and his wife we always look at as the goddess Durga or Lakshmi or a form of Shakti, came to him and asked him, please tell me the ways in which one can find this realized state of understanding the nature of creation. In the Spanda text, he actually goes through this dialoguing with her and explains a step-by-step process of potentially realizing oneself or realizing the higher mind. And there are all different kinds of ways of doing it. Now, to backtrack just a step here, The idea of Shakti and Shiva working together on this, one asking the other and explaining to the other, is really an analogy of how both these energies have to be working together in order to unite at the end. So when she asks him how to liberate and he's instructing her, there's a purpose there. And in the same way, the Shakti or the prana or Chit Kundalini in the body that we awaken, in other words, we strengthen or increase the light or the energy that creates movement and empowers consciousness, is awoken and driven in the body. It subsequently helps the Shiva or the conscious perception change, grow, expand, and become more. So in this way, there's the analogy story, and then there's the deeper spiritual story, which is one can't happen without the other. I can't become more conscious unless I have more energy. It's like a light bulb. You have the bulb and you have the electricity. The bulb on its own is nothing. The electricity on its own is nothing. But when you put both of them together, we get light. And when you turn up the electricity, you get more and more light through that bulb. And this is exactly the spiritual path in a nutshell.
When you are speaking about Shakti or Shaktipat or raising Kundalini, and we can get into that as well, I guess a general question that I have was normal day-to-day decision-making by just Joe Smith in the world, primarily lower M. But as Joe Smith transitions and goes further along this path, that little M, the small mind, the egoic mind is replaced. And is it then the Shakti energy that is helping to guide this person?
Absolutely. In a way, you can definitely say that. The problem is that we've fallen down, and this is what the philosophy says in almost every, whether you're in Kabbalah or whether Sufism or whether you're in Buddhism or any yogic tradition like Shaivism or anything, Shaktism, anything like that. The idea is that the human condition, or the reason why people have such a rough time, is twofold. One, because the consciousness is sleepy. We're not really awake. And two, we have fallen into the misguided belief that we are the mind-body, that the brain is actually who we are and the body is who we are. And because of this, we become attached or entangled with the brain, emotion, body itself. And as that's going crazy and acting chaotic, it's dragging the awareness along with it. And the idea of the path is to make a separation, to disconnect or untangle, detangle from that deeply unconscious state of believing you are the identity, and pulling that back. And then as you pull that back, you fall into or awaken into the higher consciousness or the higher mind. And that is driven, the power to do that process is driven by the Mother Shakti energy. As it increases, you gain the ability to then will through your awareness to pull back more and more. So in that regard, the more Shakti flowing, the more power I have to withdraw away from the entanglement of the mind body and eventually reside in the higher mind and lock or crystallize that higher mind. And that's called realization. And that really is the path.
You hit on something a little bit, and I want to go back to it and just ask you to expand. When you're discussing that separation from identity, almost that separation from ownership, can you just talk about that a little bit as far as my husband, wife, whatever did this to me, or this has happened to me, and the way that it is all taken so personally, and how working through this allows you to kind of shed that garb?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's a good point. If we look at it in a basic way, we can see that as a child, as we grow up, as we get older, as we continue through life, everybody around us, everyone in our family, all of our societal influences constantly reaffirm the illusion or delusion, saying that you are Adam, you are stupid, you are smart, you are great, you are bad, you are this, you are that, based on the body mind and its actions and reactions. So as the awareness is sitting back watching this, it's becoming, and it, because it's sleepy and because that Shakti energy is not running very highly, the bulb is dim, that the atom in there has grabbed a hold of the awareness, and the awareness has fallen into and sunk into the mind body and actually believes, I am this thing. That's all I am. And because of that, I have great suffering, and I'm all these conditions that people have pointed to me and told me, and all these conditions that I've reaffirmed within myself, that I'm stupid, I'm slow, I'm dumb, I'm not good enough, or I'm beautiful, I'm funny, I'm talented, whatever the conditions are. None of those conditions have anything to do with the actual awareness itself that resides before any of that happens. It has nothing to do with that. And I make the analogy of driving the car, that you believe you're the car. You believe, just because you've been driving the car your whole life, that you are the car, you and the car are one, when in fact at any moment, and what happens at death, is that you'll exit the car, leaving it all behind and being bare and naked in the awareness. If during your life, as the philosophers of the past have told us, you have not come to terms with this higher mind, that when you leave the body at death and you leave everything behind, the entire life you had behind, the memories you had, everything goes, and you're bare naked awareness, that awareness jumps right back into a body and comes right back into the cycle of death and rebirth here, and that happens again and again and again. So as we continue to buy into each of these lifetimes, over and over, successively, we fall into a delusional cycle, and it creates over time a kind of perpetual dullness, ignorance that builds on suffering, pains, and strife, inevitably leading us to ask the question, what is the point? What am I doing here? Why am I here? And how can I get out of all this? And inevitably that leads to the path. And the path is this system, the scientific system. And it's not based on religion or dogma. That came later. But a scientific system of understanding how to increase the energy within the body so that the awareness can be like a dimmer switch turned up, 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 up. And as it's turned up, we pull away and back off and remove the entanglements of the mind body so that we become free. Once we're free of it, we now know what we're not. We now see clearly. We now see without the brain's reactions and the mind stream and the egoic identity and the emotional reactions, et cetera, et cetera. We're free from all that. And from that perspective, we become realized. We're clear. And once we're realized and clear, we can decide or understand how and what we want to do in this world with a true sense of freedom, because we're not attached to the pain, pleasure mechanism that dictates how we respond and act in the world around us.
Almost perceived or conditioned pain, pleasure, right?
Yeah, as absolutely.
We've been told what's good and what's bad. I was going to kind of direct question, direct answer you based on what you were just talking about and see if we could put a bow on this to make it easily understandable.
Sure.
And so what I wanted to talk about was, if you ask somebody, what do you think someone who is clear, what do they look like? A lot of people would give you a monk on a mountain in a robe surrounded by silence and a lotus flower. And my question to you was, isn't it possible someone is clear and they enjoy hot dogs and going to sporting events and having sex and all these other things, but there's no attachment to them anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the point here is that, and especially in Tantra, as we see, look way back to the origination of that science, that it's not about the guy on the mountain sitting there is obviously working very hard and practicing very hard to remain and stabilize and continue to deepen his awareness. But at some point, that man gets up and he goes into the world and he enjoys the world because he realizes that I'm not of the world, but I'm in the world. So while I'm here, I'm going to be productive in whatever way that means, whether that means smiling at people, making people laugh, being there for those that need the spiritual path, or being a productive member of this process while they're here and before they leave permanently. So the tantric path always was more for lay people and householders, what's called normal people. It was about taking on your life. And they saw that there were two parts of the world. One, the reality we're in now, the world dream that we're in now, and how to manipulate that world dream to suit your practitioner's needs or suit your own needs. And then also the spiritual path. Those two things went hand in hand. So it wasn't just about becoming a monk and being, grandiose and looking very holy and being very religious in appearance and in action. It was about being a regular person and being approachable and being able to communicate well with others and understanding where others were coming from so that you can enlighten their lives too, that you could actually give things to them and love them on a very equanimous way. And that is really reaching a very high pinnacle of the path, because at that point, there isn't any you really there. You're just expressing the light through you. And the light wants to see flowers bloom. It wants to see the ocean. It wants to see the forest. It loves the blue sky. It loves lightning and thunder. I mean, it's all about everything that's happening. And it's about being embedded, enjoying, and loving everything that's going on. And that means that there has to be radical transformation in the binary or dualistic system that we currently use that says, well, that's bad and that's good, because it's all good. Our regular awareness is always in a bliss state. That's its normal condition. It doesn't have any opposition to that. It's just always in a relaxed and everything's okay bliss state. It's only when the egoic identity gets entangled that we start to say, oh, well, I can't be happy right now because things aren't going right for me. And what's right for me? I don't know. Here's what I believe what's right for me. And that changes all the time. And the ego will drive us crazy with all these conditions. So really losing that, getting rid of that ego identity and the ego dominating, controlling aspect, sets us off to just be in a normal state of contentment. We're just free of it. It's gone. Now, playing pool or swimming or hiking or just sitting around doing nothing, all of that is good. All of that's okay. And being productive for other people is also important, because we have compassion now and love for others that don't have that bliss, and you want to make sure that they get it. So sitting alone on a mountain is great. Hey, I'm not putting that down. That's a phenomenally beautiful thing. I would love to do it myself. I'm not in that position. But loving the world as it is and being in the world and enjoying the ride is hyper important to the path.
I love it. And, you know, you said in it, not of it, which is one of my favorite things attributed to Christ.
Yeah.
In sure. It, not of it. So in closing, people had referenced this, so I'm going to give you a couple minutes to just riff on Kundalini.
So Kundalini is a dormant latent energy. It's actually active in you. It has to be, because if it wasn't, you'd be dead. So there is some current flowing through you. It makes your heartbeat. It makes your lung mechanism go in and out. It makes the neurons fire, the synapses in the brain. All of this stuff's happening because of Shakti, because of Kundalini. It's just that there's a latent power sitting at the conduit, the bottom of the body, that can be stimulated and awakened, typically done through an initiation or an empowerment by a teacher who will sit with you and activate it. As we do in our school, we have practitioners that we go to specific retreats for, and we activate that Kundalini and get it going. And we have dozens of people in our school who have experienced incredibly profound and strong energetic initiations in that regard, where they will just let that energy flow through them for hours on end. And then there's also getting that energy through grace, meaning that you've done initiation or empowerment before in a previous life or prior to this life, and then you get back on the path and she awakens naturally. So those are the two cases that Kundalini can come up, and she awakens in the body and starts going to work, cleaning all of the outside channels and making your system run better, more fluidly, getting rid of blockages. And we call that prana shakti. And then once that cleaning is done, there's another kind of empowerment or initiation or grace that happens in chit Kundalini. It goes straight up through the center of the body and starts piercing all the knots that hold your physical karma, your emotional karma, and your mental karma. And that is the tantric process in a nutshell. Of course, there's more to it than that, but that's basically how you look at it.
Beautiful. Awesome stuff. Before we wrap up, Roz, any final thoughts on Shiva, Shakti, or Kundalini?
Kundalini is sometimes mistaken for feeling little buzzes or feeling a little high or getting into a meditative state where you're shaking a little bit or you feel a little bit of energy. Sometimes people think that's Kundalini awakening. There's a vast difference in having an actual awakening and a vast difference in having an actual rising of Kundalini than most think, because this word Kundalini has been thrown around so much. There's a lot of adepts in our group who have seen the difference between having prana move and having actual Kundalini awakening. It's very profound, knocks you off your feet, and it puts energy through you that is radical and amazing and blissful and wonderful. And we have to really understand it, because I believe that that energy is the way that awareness gets strengthened and expanded and more powerful. There's an idea out there that awareness is just what awareness is. It's ordinary and normal and just accept it. We have seen that's not the case. that as Shakti moves and grows, awareness becomes more and more and more free from the deepest layers of entanglement. And that is a very vital and important part of the process. So keep in mind, Kundalini is a mysterious energy within every human being. Everybody has it. And it's vitally important on the spiritual path, regardless of what anybody says. It's been written about for a long time for a very good reason. And if you're interested in that, find somebody who knows what they're doing, not just somebody who knows what to say, but somebody that can transmit that energy to you palpably and in front of you. And that's a teacher you should stay by, stay close to. Yeah.
And in summation, drukama.com. Please check it out, drukama.com. Thank you, Roz, for taking the time, brother. It's always appreciated. And, you know, I can't wait for next week. I'm excited to move forward. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. Be well, everyone.
If you have enjoyed this podcast and wish to find out more information on these teachings, please come and visit us at our website, drukama.com. That's drukama.com.